Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite with recipes. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing with chickens. Licking the Bowl. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's metaphorical. Always it's delicious. This is episode 3. I was going to do a fairly serious backstory piece from the book, but I don't feel like it. So instead, it's the story of a very dear friendship and baked potatoes, and then a great, great recipe for peanut sauce. And finally, we'll get to, of course, the chickens. And we'll talk about chickens because clearly I am completely and totally obsessed. Baked potatoes, also known as the story of Sale and Alonza. I first saw Alonza in the yard at Annie's Montessori school when she was 4. Tiny and scruffy and blonde-haired and bare-legged and fierce, wearing a frilly party dress and sitting in a mud puddle. That first time I saw her, I claimed her for my own. I don't really like children, actually. I love infants. I think 2-year-olds are pretty cool. I'm not so big on kids. And babies and infants don't stay babies and infants for very long. Okay, I mean, I love my own kid. I like a few others, and most of the others I find annoying and difficult to take. But I adored Alonza. I adored her from the moment I saw her. She was brilliant and emotional and adept at everything she tried, and she spent a lot of time when she was a kid being pretty pissed off that she was a child and couldn't yet do all the things that adults can. I remember shortly after being entranced by that muddy, fancy child, 5-year-old Annie came home from school and shyly told us, "I have a new friend. Her name is Alonza." And I was so thrilled. And then one day, Annie told us, "Alonza doesn't want to be my friend anymore." And I was devastated, not so much for my daughter, but for me, because that child needed to be in my life. I knew that. So I looked on the parent contact list, and I found out that Alonza's mother was spelled S-A-I-L-L, which, of course, I assumed, because I'm politically sensitive and I value diversity and I'm from the Bay Area, was a Middle Eastern name, or at least an adopted Sufi name. Heart in throat, I called S-A-I-L-L for a playdate. I'd never met her. I'd seen her looking cool and interesting, sitting with 2 men at the school spaghetti feed. One was the boyfriend and one Alonza's dad, as it turned out. So when a man answered the phone, the boyfriend, I said, "Hello, may I please speak to Sail?" "Sail isn't home." Duh. Asking another parent for a play date, that wasn't easy for me. The last time I'd done it was a month or so before, and that was at one of those kids' birthday parties at a local gym. The entire class had been invited. I was talking to a mom whose daughter also figured in Annie's descriptions of school, and I asked her if maybe we could get our daughters together for a play date, since after all, they were school friends. "Oh," the mom said, looking me up and down, "where do you live?" And when I told her, she said, "Well, we really only socialize with people from Trestle Glen," naming her tonier-than-mine neighborhood, and she turned away. I was having a bad year that year, and I took the rejection hard. Fortunately, when Sale called me back, she was more receptive. Our first playdate felt like a first date for both of us, like a blind date, as it turned out. We were both nervous and both quirky, both shy. Neither one of us was particularly good at the mom game. We met at a local playground, and while the girls played on the jungle gym, we sat on the edge of the sandbox and talked and talked and talked and talked. She was a brilliant scientist who loved all animals profoundly, even house rats, and she played the piano and knew how to sail, and she owned a chainsaw, and she loved hardcore martial arts, where she would meet with other practitioners under the freeway and beat each other up on the cement. And she cried at the drop of a hat, and she was raising her daughter on her own with no money. I mean, basically, fumes and ramen. We had found our tribe. Dinners together at Sale and Alonza's house in Oakland. That particular boyfriend was now gone. Potatoes. Salad with arugula from their wheelbarrow garden. Fresh pasta. We rolled it out and hung the long strands on broomsticks that we parked between two chairs. Pizza with dough that Sale made from scratch. Lots and lots of Parmesan cheese. For the last almost 20 years, we've been friends. We raised our kids together and our dogs together. For years and years, we hiked together every single week through every kind of weather. We hosted sleepovers. We sent our girls to the same day camps so that we could carpool, and the same grammar, middle, and high schools. We supported each other through all the hard times. And when my husband Bill died in Madagascar, she was the first person I called. Before his kids and sisters, before my parents, because I needed Sale's strength to get me through. As Annie and Alonza grew up, they grew apart, though they still have a deep bond. But even though Sale and I now live almost a three-hour drive apart from each other, she in a little farm in Sonoma County with chickens and cats and dogs and frogs, and an old barn with a wild barn owl and a little yellow farmhouse, and me in the forest in the foothills with my boyfriend, Woodman Dan. We're still close. We're friends forever. And whenever I bake a pile of potatoes and get out the little bowls for all the fixings, I think of her and of Alonza. So here's a recipe for potatoes with all the fixings. This is a favorite for dinner, especially in winter, especially with friends. A big pile of baked potatoes in the middle of the table and all the fixings spread around, people mixing their own concoctions. It's easy. You need potatoes, russet potatoes. You need an oven full of them, baked. You need the trimmings, butter, olive oil, salt, pepper, oregano, sour cream, chives, little bowls of grated Parmesan cheese, hummus, sun-dried tomatoes, chopped onion, chopped tomato, arugula, artichoke hearts, any of that, all of that, whatever's in the fridge. And then each person takes a potato or two potatoes or three potatoes. You mix, you mash, you play, you eat. This is Erica, and this is Licking the Bowl. You can find me on Instagram, Licking the Bowl. You can find me on lickingthebowl.com. Twitter is LickBowl. Facebook, Bear Clover Productions. I'm easy to find. Come find me. Have you ever had one of those days? Yeah, you've had them. Sometimes you have one of those days. The blender bottom isn't screwed on right twice, and the peanut butter, lemon juice, and soy sauce spill out on the counter again and again, betrayal in a wet brown stain. You yell at your loved one, though it isn't his fault, and all he did was make a snide comment about checking your equipment before you use it. You decide you're going to win. So you dirty 3 extra bowls and use up the paper towels and cut open another lemon. But the peanut sauce is tepid and your hands fail you. And the patties coming out of the broiler somehow end up broken and ruined on the oven door. And even though you aren't a drinker, you drink dinner that night after weeping and pouring the clotted, tepid peanut sauce on the overdone broccoli. For you've overcooked the broccoli until it's brown and mushy and bitter while you were cleaning up from the burgers. And it's not just the bad dinner. It's the fact that everything is bad today. You're not looking at the news. But you've become a klutz anyway, who no longer has control over your hands, your feet, who can't even remember what the bottom of the blender is called because you're losing nouns, you're losing words, even as the world heats up and goes crazy. And there's a madman in the White House. The dog needs surgery. And there will never be a time when money is not a worry. It's a downhill run. Even the weather is wrong. The weather is always wrong. There's never as much rain as the forecaster promises, or there's too much rain and the driveway becomes a riverbed and grief spills out like tepid peanut sauce and it ruins the counters. If only there really were solace in wine. It's just one of those days, one of those days you can't win. So this is an absolutely delicious recipe for peanut sauce. The sauce is zesty and zingy, and it's amazing on broccoli or on a spoon. So this is a taste and adjust recipe, like a lot of my recipes. Make sure you screw the bottom of the blender on really tightly. Don't ask me how I know this. You're going to need a clove of garlic. And by a clove of garlic, of course, I mean a couple of cloves of garlic, because you can never have too many cloves of garlic. But in this case, 1 or 2 cloves of garlic, about 2 tablespoons of fresh grated ginger, or 1 tablespoon of dry ginger if you don't have the fresh grated ginger, or the ginger that you can peel and then grate. Juice of a lemon, about 1.5 tablespoons of soy sauce, 3 tablespoons of peanut butter. Now, this is not peanut butter with sugar in it or salt in it. Well, maybe some salt. That's okay. But just peanut butter. About 1/2 teaspoon of chili powder. Less for less spicy. This is spicy at 1/2 teaspoon. About 1.5 tablespoons of water. And then you're going to need anywhere between 2 and 7 tablespoons of oil. I use olive oil. Grapeseed oil would work really well. Canola oil is not so healthy. Coconut oil, I'm not sure about. But that goes in last anyway. You're going to blend all the ingredients except the oil in a Cuisinart or a blender. And then you add the oil last. Keep adding only enough to make it the consistency that you want. Okay, so this is the part of the podcast where I update you on what's happening in Fort Chicken. What's happening up in Fort Chicken? Well, this morning I heard crowing. I haven't seen Luke, aka Lucy Crow. But here's the thing. If it looks like a rooster, and it sounds like a rooster, I think my ingrained gender expectations are rearing their ugly heads, because I have this rooster-like bird that I haven't seen actually crow. But it's not acting like I expect a rooster to act based on my gender expectations of what a rooster does. I mean, it's not acting very cocky. All the other chickens roost on the top roost, and little Luke is way down below, all lonely and sad and non-aggressive. Oh boy, time to check my gender biases yet again. So that's it for episode 3 of Licking the Bowl. I'm Erica Lutz. Licking the Bowl is a Bear Clover Productions production. You can find us at lickingthebowl.com and on Instagram at lickingthebowl and on Facebook at lickingthebowl. Don't forget to lick the bowl, baby. Vanchka Ludi in the daytime and the Vanchka Ludi in the bunkery do. Vanchka Ludi.